Hi, welcome to Dive In, the radio broadcast ministry of Deeper Life Fellowship in Mobile, Alabama. I'm Pastor Mark Wyatt, and we are so honored that you'll be with us for the next few minutes as we dive into the life-giving Word of God in order to know Him better and love Him more than we ever have. I believe that in the next few minutes, you're going to have a fresh, vital encounter with Jesus as you listen.
What we're talking about is this, everybody. It is of vital importance today more than ever for us to understand how God has revealed Himself through the Bible, through the whole Scriptures. We looked last week at how Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, and I want to clarify for you the gospel that I preached, and this is the gospel. Now, and again, what we've done traditionally is we've cut it off too soon. But Paul said, here's the gospel. The gospel, of course, is a word that means good news. Here's the good news, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. And usually we stop right there. We say, okay, that's the gospel. That's all anybody has to know. But then he goes on, he says, and he appeared to Peter. Well, that's got to be important. And then he appeared to over 500 people. And if you want to talk to him, you can, he says. Some of them have fallen asleep, but most of them are still alive. You want to check it with them? Check it. And he says, and then he goes on to say, and then as one abnormally born. Now again, remember this, everybody. Any time in the New Testament, except for one time that I know of, any time in the New Testament where you see the word Scriptures, it is going to be referring to the Old Testament. Because in the days of the early church, in the time the New Testament was written, that was what they considered, that was the Scriptures. That's what they're talking about. They aren't, listen, the writers aren't saying, using the word Scriptures, and shooting that, they're not shooting that word like an arrow 2,000 years in the future for us to apply it to the whole Bible. Now, we believe the whole Bible are the Scriptures. And for us, in 21st century America, it includes Old and New Testament, right? Okay. When you're reading the New Testament, for those writers in that context, in that day, they were talking about the Old Testament. You follow me? Now, that's important for us to know. The one thing I was going to say was an exception, but actually is not, is when Peter is writing, and he's talking about people who twist Paul's letters even as they do all the Scriptures. Now, that shows that in the days of the early church, even then, they considered Paul's letters as inspired, as Scripture. They considered Paul's letters as authoritative for their churches. And so these letters would be copied and circulated, and the pastors would read these letters. So if we were an early church, what would we do? I may have just gotten a letter from Paul that the Colossians got and have passed on to me, you know, and I'm just, okay, everybody, here's what we're going to do today. Let me read you Paul's letter. And we'd just read the letter. And I wouldn't go into, you know, what he meant by, I mean, the word meanings of this and words. Said, we'd just read the letter and say, wow. Okay, so how do we live that out? So that's what they're talking about. All right, now, so Paul said this. Well, anyway, I heard the guy say it's all about the Word, and you can't preach your experience because that's just, as he said, charismatic hocus pocus. Now, and actually, when you think about it, let me just give you a quick little history lesson. The word hocus pocus actually is a derivative of an old Latin phrase that meant body of Christ. And so, because what it came out of the Catholic idea of transubstantiation, that as it was blessed by the priest, as the wafer and the wine were blessed by the priest, they actually magically became the body of Christ, literally. Well, magicians began to take that phrase that priests would utter over the elements and mispronounce it, and it became hocus pocus. So anyway, if you want to just go all the way back, okay, and equip, you know, charismatic style worship with the body of Christ, I'm okay with that. So, anyway, this guy was saying you can't preach experience. Now, the problem is people who say that, basically they're preaching their experience, which is lack of experience. I mean, that's, you know, people who say God doesn't heal today, that their experience is God hasn't healed today. They don't see it happen, so they're preaching their experience too. Now, we know different. We know better, don't we? And so, but we know that it's all about the Scripture. So, because Jesus is the start of this. So Paul says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That means Jesus dying for our sins is revealed in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. And he was buried, which means he was real. This is not just a myth. And that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, where might you find that in the Scriptures? We're not going to go there, but I'm just going to give you an idea. For instance, in Hosea 6, "Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will bind us up. He has broken us, but He will bandage us. After 2 days, He will revive us. On the third day, He will raise us up." What does that sound like? See, that's a prophetic passage. So, Paul says Christ was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, so here's what we found. And Jesus, on the road to Emmaus, beginning with the books of Moses, the beginning with Genesis, and going all the way through the prophets, using the whole Old Testament, He showed Himself to be the Messiah. So if Jesus found Himself in the Old Testament, we should be able to too, right? We believe God wants to reveal that, and so we've been looking for that. So here's what we're doing, though. We're putting this whole idea of Christ and His kingdom and all the Scriptures in context of what we've been talking about for years here, which is God establishing His kingdom on the earth, His rule and reign on the earth. Here's what we believe about that. Now, again, said we're summing up, but this is so good. Marianne and I were talking the other day. I know she's leading this book study of Face-to-Face with God, and isn't that the name of it? And from Bill Johnson. And she was saying, you know, Mark, it's amazing as we've talked together how far we've all come in our understanding of the kingdom. You know, there are things now we just move in and walk in that were just, we couldn't even conceive of 5 years ago. But now we've grown in it. And that's an amazing thing for me. So here's what we believe that means. Jesus, when He stepped on the scene 2,000 years ago, when He said this, "The time is fulfilled." What does that mean? What time? The time that was prophesied in the Old Testament. See, the time is fulfilled. Now is the time of fulfillment. I'm fulfilling everything that came before. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe the good news. What's the good news? The kingdom of God is here. God's rule and reign has now been made available for us to be able to live in and bring the kingdom. Now, that's what we're looking at. The unfolding revelation of the plan of God from Genesis through Revelation. So, last week we talked about creation, and we had a great time. In fact, I need to retract or modify something I said last week after thinking and talking about it Sunday afternoon, and I modified it Sunday night. But here's the deal. We talked about what it means to be made in the image of God. And the idea is, see, everything, we really find all prophetic things, we find their fulfillment in Jesus. He is, everything is yes and amen in Him. And so, if we really want to find out how we are made in the image of God, we look at how Jesus, the Bible says, is the image of God. And so Jesus is the fulfillment of what it means to be in the image of God. So we look at how Jesus was that, and now how He has made us to be like Him, and we see then, in fulfillment, how we are made in the image of God. However, there is a sense in which all of us as people, humankind, mankind, was created in the image of God. So is there an element of the image of God that is retained even in a person who is not a believer? I think there is, yeah. By virtue of the fact that we are people, we are created, we are set apart from the rest of creation. We're not animals. We have not evolved. We are not just another biological machine. There is, now I don't want to call it this though, everybody, because this is used too much. Some people would say there's a spark of the divine. I like the phrase, but it's been used too much by New Age people to say all of us have a godlike thing that we can achieve. We can achieve godlikeness. Again, what's the Greek word for that? Baloni. That's right. Okay. So, because outside of Jesus, that cannot, now that's true in Christ. It's absolutely true in Christ. He makes us like Him. But outside of Jesus, you can't achieve, you know, some kind of God status, you know, by positive thinking or you know, communing with the cosmos or anything like that, okay? But there is enough of the image of God that resides in every person that allows us to respond to the voice of the Holy Spirit when He calls. Because the Bible says no man comes to God except that the Holy Spirit draws him. And so there's something in us that begins to vibrate, I think, when the Holy Spirit begins to call us. That makes sense? That's that image of God in us that responds. But it's dead in trespasses and sins until we are born again and God makes us alive in Christ. Okay? Now, so here's what that means. However that image of God is expressed, and maybe it's creativity, maybe it's writing beautiful songs or painting wonderful pictures or writing stories or whatever, however you want to, let's say just in the area of creativity, if that's a reflection of the image of God that resides in us, That's a wonderful thing, but that expression, that part, will never find its purpose or its fulfillment or its ultimate satisfaction in you except through Jesus. Until you are made alive again through Christ. So you can have a songwriter who can write beautiful songs who doesn't know the Lord. I guarantee you, they get saved, those songs will change. The songs become more beautiful, they become more purposeful, more heavenly. You understand? More from the Spirit of God. Until then, you can only go this high. But through transformation of the Holy Spirit, that image of God then finds its fulfillment, and it finds its maturity and its satisfaction in Him. Does that make sense? All right. Now, we talked about creation and how God established His kingdom at creation. So what God set up was this. The fundamental striking similarity of us being in the image of God is this, where God said, let us make man in our own image, and he will rule the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and he will subdue the earth, not conquer it, but steward it, manage the earth for me. So earth then becomes a colony of heaven. Now, understand this, though. Here's something interesting. You know, we've always talked about God creating the earth and putting man here to run the earth, and then it's almost like God sits back. Now, that's a popular Enlightenment kind of idea, that God sits back and watches the earth from a distance. Please. And so God sends the earth spinning and sits back and can't do anything. No, no, no. In fact, I believe when God created the earth, he chose the earth to be his dwelling place. The Bible says in Genesis that he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. I think God dwelled in the Garden of Eden the same way he dwelled in the temple later. But God had established his kingdom, and it was, and he, as he said, it was good. Adam and Eve were doing fine. They were taking care of the animals. They were taking care of the plants. They were enjoying life. They were starting to be fruitful, and they were supposed to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So the whole earth could come under this wonderful rule and reign of God, right? So God established his kingdom the way it was supposed to look, except for one thing. I'm going to show you in just a second. All right, Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. And we find out later that the serpent is Satan himself. And he said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. No, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now, I've preached on this before, and you can always go on our website and you can hear the message for Tree of Life. And I'm not going to go over that today, but a couple of things here. First of all, we need to understand, I think it's significant that Satan comes to Eve because from the biblical record, and I wouldn't stake my life on this, but we don't have any indication that Eve actually ever heard God give the instructions about the trees. He gave them to Adam before he was created. Now, could God have repeated himself? Well, sure, but it's not in here. So seeing the account that we have, I would let me suggest to you that Satan came to Eve because she didn't hear it straight from God. What that means is you need to hear God for yourself in your life. Don't operate your life based on what somebody else says they've heard from God and then obey what they've heard. You need to hear God for yourself. You need to hear what the Holy Spirit says to you. You need to read the Word of God. You need to listen to the Lord interpret that. You've got to get direction for yourself.
Thanks again for being with us today. Be sure and keep listening to this series as we continue to look at the unfolding plan of God in the Bible, what He had in mind from before the foundation of the world. I pray that as you listen to this, that you'll begin to see the whole story of the Bible like never before, and as we're talking about in this series, that you're able to see Christ and His kingdom in all the Scriptures. Join us tomorrow for the next part of this series. If you'd like to know more about Deeper Life Fellowship, you can find us online, DeeperLifeFellowship.com or DLFMobile.com. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time on Dive In.